We're continuing our series on Love Not the World. Love Not the World. And for that, let's go to our foundation text of 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. And let's read that together once you get it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And read. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Let the church say amen. That's good news. And so we've been talking about, seem like now for 10 years, on just the middle of that, desires of the eyes. And I think for the first time in the history of those 10 years, we're going to finally finish the eyes and then move on to the pride in possessions. Amen? Amen. All right. So having said that, let's look again. We're focusing on verse 16. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes. And that's what we're looking at, desires of the eyes. Again, desires is epithumia, which is an intense desire, a strong craving, a passionate longing. So it's just not desires, cravings, and longings, because thumia would have been enough for that. But when you add to that Greek word the preposition epi on top of thumia or in front of thumia, when you do that in Greek, adding the preposition in front of the verb, it intensifies the verb. So it's just not desires, cravings, and longings. It's intense desires. It's strong cravings. And it is passionate longings. So these desires of the flesh and desires of the eyes, they're not something that's like, and you heard this for at least 2 months, but I still warn you, please don't get into, I heard this, move on. No, it's too dangerous because you're seeing stuff you shouldn't see every day. Hopefully a lot of it is stuff you can't help but see, and you glance and keep it moving. But that's the danger. Your eyes see, I don't know, a million images a day, I don't know. See all kind of stuff. See stuff everywhere. And so there's a reminder, I must be vigilant all day, every day, to umpire, discriminate, distinguish between what is good that's entering my eye gate and what is not good. What is holy, what is unholy. What is scriptural, what is not scriptural. What is godly, what is ungodly. You're making that discrimination. You're letting the Holy Spirit be your umpire all day. You're talking about you're seeing for hours and hours and hours all day. And really, because of our fallen nature, there are times that even in our sleep, we're still seeing things that we saw throughout the day. We're praying, Lord, get these images out of my mind, please. Battle rages. Why? Because these desires are not light. They are strong, they are passionate, and they are intense. All right, so we talked about the many examples about the eyes We talked about that the eyes are never satisfied with seeing. We talked about those who try to satisfy the eyes. Eve, who saw, and it was the light of the eyes. Lot's wife, looking, Achan, looking at the gold and the silver and so forth. Samson, who just saw a prostitute and went in, saw Delilah, fell in love with her, possibly another prostitute. We look at David, who was on the rooftop and saw Bathsheba and sent the men to go get her and ended up in committing murder and adultery and end up as a result of his sin, causing his son, who was born out of that sin, to also die as well. And we said because of such potential consequences of what our eyes can see, it is imperative for us to do what? Make a covenant before the Lord to guard our eyes. To guard our eyes. And so we read that in Job, I made a covenant with my eyes. Psalm 101, I was setting a worthless thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away from it. Psalm 119:37, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity. Now, all that review. We know that eyesight is good, but however, it can be used for perverted things, and it can be used in a perverted fashion. Therefore, corrupting that good thing which the Lord has given us. Amen? We know that the enemy is always there to corrupt that which God has done. So Jesus gives a graphic exaggeration, right? An hyperbole of what we ought to do if our eyes cause us to sin. So let's look at that. Of course, he's speaking symbolically, metaphorically. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Lusting with the eyes are to be avoided at all costs, to the point that Jesus gives this example that, hey, if you do lust with the eyes, guess what? You need to gouge them out. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said, some translations add, by them of old. That's added, but nonetheless, it was said, because it was past tense, was said, and it was said by folks of old, back in the day. These were the rabbis who were teaching the Jews. They were supposed to be teaching the Jews the law of Moses, the word of God, the law given by God to Moses. But they taught them, you shall not commit adultery. He said, well, it's about to teach them that. That's a good thing. Yes, it is. But if the focus is only external, that's a problem, because that's not all what God taught, or that's not all what he meant when he taught them that. And when we get through with this series, we'll begin that series, I believe, Lord willing, talking about loving the Lord your God. The Jews dumbed down the teachers, the rabbis, the leaders. They dumbed it down, stripped it out. And it had been stripped out and dumbed down and stripped away and for so many years and decades that it's embarrassing that leaders ask Jesus, well, what is the first commandment? What is the top commandment? You are asking me that when before that was all your forefathers knew, but it had left the mind, it had left the teaching for so many years that it had left the hearts and minds of those who came after, because they weren't taught this anymore, to the point they had forgotten it, and they had to ask him, well, what is the number one commandment? Wow. You should love the Lord your God with all your heart. But if you have forgotten that, and all you were taught were external things, then you can see why you're going to be in trouble Because God sees not as man sees. Man sees the outside, but God what? Did David say, just created me a new body. Created me a what? Clean. One of Glenda's favorite verses. Created me a clean heart, oh God. And renewing me a right spirit. That's inward. That's what the Pharisees messed up. He said, you all are externally looking good like a grave, washed, beautiful, and whitewashed, but inside, inwardly, full of rotting corpses. And that's a stench that you don't ever want to smell, is that of a rotting corpse. But Jesus wasn't holding it back. You're looking good on the outside. You clean out the outer cup, but inside you're full of filth. I am telling you that God was focusing on the inward and not just only the external. The inward is where true love emanates, not just in external works. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next series, Lord willing. I'm very excited to get there. Loving the Lord your God. The whole Bible rests, I agree with Dr. John MacArthur on Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. For you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. And he says, second, later on in Deuteronomy, the second is likened to it, love your neighbor and as yourself. And he said it here on these two, and all the law which came before Deuteronomy and the prophets which came as an explanation after Deuteronomy. All of it hangs on those two things. It's all about love towards God. You can't love him just doing external things and being and feeling and living and thinking and attitudining, no such a word, but tonight it is, attitudining all kind of ways on the inside. Think of it as a regular parent. A grandparent, you tell your child, go clean your room. Oh, man. They stomped off, attitude, everything, clean the room. But are you pleased with that as a grandparent, as a TT? Are you pleased with that as a... No. No, you're not pleased with that. Even as a human parent or human guardian, you're not pleased with it. And why? Because you're like, look at that attitude on that little girl. What's wrong? What the world is that? Do you feel love? Do you think they love you stomping off like that? Oh, man, I don't feel like doing this. But they go and do it. That's not love. We need to understand, when we serve him externally only, we're not loving him. He's after our heart. Heart. I will write my words upon the fleshy tables of your heart. You are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul inward, with all your mind inward, and with all your strength inward. All of them. That's what Pharisees were missing out on. I'm strictly teaching the sermon in the next couple of weeks. That's getting to hear 10 times anyway. Amen. It's a love thing. It really is. I think that's the whisper. We need to get a whisper's anointing. It's a love thing. That's what we need. We got to realize that's what it's all about. Boy, you get a hold of that, the Bible will look so simple. It's going to be shooting a Motown. It's going to be like the Jackson 5. A, B, C. Just simple. It just all falls, it all makes sense. Because, okay, you're relationship with me because I've saved you. You're my child. I'm your father. Now, here is how I want you to act. That's just the flow. That's what the Word of God is. It teaches us how to operate within this relationship. It's our relationship. Is that not how you operate? It's how you operate with sisters. You're like, I'm your auntie, you're my niece, this is how you act around me. Period. It's relationship first, and then the law is given to operate within that place. Does that make sense? That's love. We love him because he first loved us. It's love. Tina Turner didn't know what she was saying. Because what love got to do with it? Everything. It's the only thing. Back to tonight's sermon. Which fits. You heard that it was said, you shall love her, you shall not commit adultery. But I said it, but I said unto you. Whenever you hear that, again, we're still going back to 2 weeks in the future. He is saying, this is what the Lord God really meant behind that. Or this is what you ought to be saying behind that. Or this is what you ought to be understanding behind what was said. Because what you're saying, you stripped it of what the Lord God actually meant. Does that make sense? You saying this, that's not right. I'm saying this, what God really said. You're saying what you want God to have said. I'm telling you what he really said. So, but I say unto you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You see that? He went inward. He went inward. And what did he say? Looks. That's the eyes. I can't just talk to the men anymore. I'm just talking to Brianna. Because I was saying, men, you know how we look. But no, women look too. Women are visual. Men are visual. So when we look or see something, you know, don't play dumb. You know that that attracts, that you're attracted to whatever you just saw. You know it. Instantly, you know it. At that moment, you have a decision to make. We're going to get into it right quick in a moment. Look doesn't mean just glance. Not incidental seeing. So long. So let's get into it. Rest of my brain, I say, you know, when you see something that you know instantly you're attracted to that. Now you have a decision. You either look back and look again and look, and start with ideas and thoughts ruminating in the mind. Or do I've already seen it. Ooh, I like it. Ooh, and I like it. Pray for me, Clyde. And you look away. You don't look back. Because you know you like it. Let's not play dumb. Let's be real. You saw it. You're okay right now. David was okay when he first was out there chilling. Should have been at the war. But he's still out there. He looked around and like, ooh-wee. He was still all right. But you know, it wasn't just, ooh-wee. It was like, man, what the world? Go get her. Out of order. What is the first glance? Let's define the word look. Is a present participle. What does present participle mean? Ongoing. Thank you, Judith Ann. It's ongoing. That's why the Greek is crucial. You know what I'm saying, nephew? It's not just a glance, Mr. Chris, or the ladies. It's the ongoing, look, present. It refers to the continuous process of looking. The continuous process of looking.
right?
So it's crucial. Since it is present tense, it is not the idea of an incidental or involuntary glance. Right? You understand that? Because that's not ongoing. You happen to see something, you're not in sin yet. So it's not incidental or involuntary. It is the intentional and repeated looking. Does that make sense? It's the intentional and repeated looking, gazing. So you're staring. I once saw a pastor who had that reminded me, when I become a pastor, that's an ugly look. Wife sitting right by his side. The lady walked this way, and he was this way. And I'm thinking, dude, I'm looking right at you, but you don't know I'm even looking at you because you're so locked in down there. Everyone that looks at a woman with lust for her. The comment on that is that this phrasing, with lust for her, indicates a goal, G-O-A-L, or an action that follows in time the act of looking. So you're looking, 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 and in time comes the goal or the act of intention. Boy, I want to holler at that. You start seeing yourself having sex with her or starting to have or kissing or whatever it is, whatever goes on in the mind. So again, it indicates a goal or an action that follows in time the act of looking. So you looked and looked and looked, and even though, this is another thing. Even though you may not maybe at the moment start thinking that, but because you looked long enough, it may rise up later. You're still in sin. That's what Jesus said. Can y'all see what he went inside? He went inside. Nobody came near another body. No male body came near the female body. But he's saying, though, if you gaze and your goal and your actions that follow in your mind is that of adultery, of lusting. He said, in God's eye, who gave the commandment originally, listen to this, in God's economy, according to God's standard, the Lord God who first gave this commandment, which y'all butchered, is so I'm going to take it back to where what he meant when he said it. He's saying, you've already, let's keep reading. When you do that, you already committed adultery in God's eye. The commentator goes on to say, Jesus is therefore speaking of intentional looking with the purpose of lusting. You're looking with the intent to lust. That's why you're looking. That's not an intentional, unintentional involuntary glance. No, you're looking because you're going to lust. When I see this, Jesus speaking of the man or the woman who looks so that they may satisfy their evil desire. Jesus speaking of the man or the woman who goes to an X-rated movie and selects a television program for its sexual orientation, or who goes to a beach known for its scanty swimsuits, or who does any such thing with the expectation and desire of being sexually and sinfully titillated or excited. You know what's going on. Magic Mike, I think that was one of the movies. Or a ton of these other, just a ton of movies. And you know, when I go to this movie, because you don't have to be X-rated, it can be R-rated, it can be PG-13 rating. Because if something in there excites you that way, now see it. By the way, can be PG-13 and not X. There are so many things that excite the senses in an ungodly way. And so when we look with the intent to be satisfied in a lust-filled way, he says, that person has already committed, listen, has already committed adultery with her. Not just committed adultery. Sometimes we miss it with her. We just think he just committed adultery. But with the person you already look, it is as if what you've been staring at and got your eyes fixed on, it is as if you went in with her in God's economy, in according to God's standard. In his eye, you already laid with her. And that's enough to damn us to hell. Because the wages of sin is death. That is a sin. We all got to get that. Oh, preacher, why don't you lighten up a little bit, man? Man, this is 2021, good. Ain't nobody talking like that no more. You feeling what I'm feeling? No, I ain't feeling that at all, dude. You want to talk that, then I'll come back at you. Well, he said, cuz, that my word would never pass away, cuz. He said, cuz, that forever my word is settled in heaven. And not even a tail or a comma will pass away. Glory be to God. No, no, man. What is true back then is true in 2021. And if the preachers were to preach this first and then live by it second, we would have a lot less adultery happening in the pulpits, which are happening at a rampant rate. Illicit sexual affairs just flying out of the menu, man, all over the place. In God's eye, Jesus said, you have already committed adultery with her in your, where? In the heart. So he said, as a result of that, because you saw and it led to sin, verse 29, your right eye makes you stumble, which means a sin, tear it out and throw it from you. Doesn't mean literally. But he's saying, have that. I love this phrasing from the particular commentary. He says, implying a certain indignant promptitude. Indignant promptitude. Like, how dare, what, how dare I? Oh, Lord, I was sick. Oh, what? I mean, immediately, you're indignant. How dare I do that? Promptly, pull, tear it out. Regardless of whatever costs of feeling the act may involve, I'm tearing out my eyes. Whatever makes you sin, what he's saying in general, remove it from your life, is what he's saying. If it's making you sin, remove it from your life. That's how I removed it from my life. Malls. I removed M-A-L-L-S, malls, from my life. I remove women's magazines from my life, whether it's Health or Vogue or whatever it was that they just comes it out. I have to turn them over. Whatever it is, if you're not removing it from your life, you ought to be working towards removing it from your life. It's better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. John Calvin says it very well. The justice of God ought to stand higher in our estimation than all that we reckon most precious and valuable. I'll say it again. The justice of God, is it just for us to lose an eye because we've sinned? Absolutely. The justice of God ought to stand higher in estimation. You ought to value God's justice than all that we reckon most precious and valuable. We reckon our eyesight precious and valuable. He said, but you need to reckon God's justice more precious and more valuable than your eyes. He goes on to say, Calvin goes on to say, one ought to part with their eyes than to depart from the commandments of God. That's very well put. One ought to part with their eyes than to depart from the commandments of God. Father, help us to get there. Help us to get there. Help us to get there. Help us to get there and be serious, just as serious as the graphic hyperbole, the graphic exaggeration that was set forth by our Lord, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Help us to get there. As Calvin said, to part, we wouldn't to part with our eyes than to depart from your commandments. These blessings we ask in Jesus' holy name, and the people of God said, amen.